Actually, though, there's Philadelphia, there's Ireland, both homes of great soul music, double entendre intended.
Right. Well, I'm first trying to let the double entendre
sink in
and work it out. Oh, right, okay.
You wanted one of those, didn't you? You wanted coffee, you wanted a double entendre, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Double half-calf entendre, yes, extra foam.
We prefer to deal in single entendres. Just say it like it is, man. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, that was... That was so shallow. What?
But would everybody talk about where they're originally from?
Dublin entendre.
I'm from Dublin.
Dublin entendre.
Justin, where are you from?
Scranton and Philadelphia.
There you go. Scranton and Philadelphia.
You're from the ghetto, right?
The ghetto?
We're working class boys. You don't meet many of us in the music industry.
And Mark.
Certainly Mark not Worth. Ones that play guitars.
Matt's from Little Rock, Arkansas.
I'm from Philadelphia via Arkansas.
Originally born and raised, then moved to Philadelphia.
You really don't have to stay behind the drums. You really, you know, you're allowed, even though they probably told you can never leave the drums, but you can leave, you can leave the drums.
Leave the drums, man.
It's okay.
But then you'll see his tight pink shorts that he wears.
From the review posted on your MySpace site, there's something kind of menacing about the band as they traipse through all sorts of 70s rock without ever seeming like direct descendants of anything in particular. Now, considering my radio name is Dennis the Menace and you are a menacing band, I like the description. Your music's not menacing. I mean, it's in the grand tradition of people who tell stories.
Well, I think people find that menacing now for some reason, that if you're...
You mean as opposed to la, 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 things are happy?
Yeah, and I'm not, you know, I'm not an 18-year-old guy singing about his cat or something. I mean, it's so people find
who's the 18-year-old guy who sings about his cat? Anyone for...
There are plenty of them.
For $10,000.
Devendra Banhart.
Devendra, ooh.
He's not 18. He's pretty cool. Just he's great. I love him.
Well, nice catch.
Oh, I know. Sorry. Just
nice,
trying to...
Nice.
Pull Justin's mic off.
I don't know much about Lug Records, except, of course, who it was started by James Lug. So how did he... Take me through the quick gestation of the band. I know you did a single, and then you did the EP on Lug, and then...
But things just seemed to start... I mean, we had record company interest before we'd even practiced together. It was a little strange. And then it just seemed to all... We sent some demos out, and we seemed to get a pretty immediate reaction. He came to one gig, saw us, basically said to us after the show that he'll put out an EP in England. No, the Vice were interested from the most basic demos we had.
Really?
From the start. I mean, I think actually at our second practice or something, Matt mentioned that they were interested.
Wow.
They were at the first show.
Yeah, and they've just stayed really interested since, and we just thought... I mean, that's what you're looking for. It was a combination of things. It was a persistent interest. It was the fact they had a small roster so we wouldn't get lost.
Right, but yet they're part of a big... Behind the scenes, they're part of the...
Atlantic Records.
The big company. Ken, you were a lonely bartender in a lonely bar.
Yes.
Wow. Where was the bar? Obviously not one of Manhattan's she drinking emporiums.
Well, considering I was fired from there, I don't want to promote them in any way whatsoever. Well, I grew up in Dublin, Ireland, formed a band. Let's skip forward 18 years, formed a band called Roller Skate Skinny in the late 80s, moved to London. We're just successful enough to be above complete obscurity, which gives us our legend. Yeah, we met and we just had things in common and we discussed music and sort of strangely committed ourselves to an idea of getting a band together before we'd even really knew what we were talking about. And I had a few songs demoed.
Now in New York especially, when people were coming in for a drink, did you want to just say to them, look, I want you to listen to my stories, I don't want to listen to yours?
Sometimes it would feel like that, but then you just sort of absorb their stories and make them part of your reality. It works, you know.
Okay, on to the music. Enough about, you know, racial slurs, personality, bad nicknames. You recorded and produced Down Beside Your Beauty. I can't pronounce his name, but you produced and recorded it, but then you went to get it mixed with, come on, help me out.
Victor Van Voot.
Voot. Not Vucht?
We're all booked in our own way.
If you were looking for a better setup, you could not have had a better setup if you tried. Was this your choice to bring him in for the mix?
Well, someone mentioned him, and I, of course, in my usual cynical fashion, was said, like, "We're never gonna get this guy."
Right.
And then he actually, how did we get? We got a
just called him up.
Someone just got his cell phone number. He was in Scotland. We were in New York, and he really liked it.
He did the Pogues, and the Pogues are doing a lot. Or touring now, suddenly again.
They've done all right.
He did Nick Cave as well, and The Fall.
Yes.
And PJ Harvey.
But what was done? Tell me about the recording of the record. And I'm not looking for the but tell me about what you set out to do, and then what he did with it.
We had an idea of how we wanted the record to sound, and I engineered it, and we all kind of produced the record and came up with the specific types of sounds that
did you do it digital, did you do it analog?
No,
did
we,
you do it both did
we
you?
We used an old Trident board in the studio in Dumbo.
Excellent.
Went to 2-inch, did the whole analog thing, and then
we told when we got Victor to mix it, we told him, look, don't even think about this being on the radio or anything.
On the video, I watched the little descriptive videos.
Yeah.
And the video about the title track, you say it is the catchiest song about the misery of your life. Now, don't you think, seriously, that most of the great rock and roll songs are happy tunes about misery? I mean, it's you know, wasn't That'll Be the Day That I Die by Buddy Holly the feel-good lyric of the year?
Yeah, well...
When you think about it. So I think you're carrying... I'm being serious. I think you're carrying on a grand tradition, because most of the great, you know, really poppy... cool rock and roll songs. I picked Buddy Holly because that's like, you know, you know, you might as well pick a, you know, an archaic and, you know, pop standard. But listen to that song, right? That's not a happy song, right?
No, I mean, that's one of the powerful things, I suppose, about...
I guess what I'm saying is that as you're going forward on your story, I think you could just attach that, you know?
Oh, I will, yeah. I've already made a mental note about that. Right back from Buddy Holly to now. We're
no, but I mean, all kidding aside, if you wrote happy lyrics, you know, that had sad melodies, it probably wouldn't work, right?
I wouldn't want to be in a band.
You'd want to be the ice cream man in The Crying Game.
I just want to be happy, whatever. But it's a very immature concept, happiness, yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
Overrated. What did you... Come on, what?
We burn our clothes after every gig.
Do you?
We do. Whoa. I don't know what that means, but it's cool.
That is your next song you have to write.
Yeah.
We burn our clothes
burn
after.
Our clothes.
It's a Morrissey song. We burn our clothes after every gig.
Morrissey.
He just gets his stripped away by.
He takes his off and throws them in the audience, right?
Well, he has a lot to take off because he wears that whole suit,
yeah,
kind of.
The whole
cocktail
lounge. He's getting
lounge.
Up there as well. He still looks pretty good with it.
Cocktail
sure.
lounge
good.
Sort of thing. Strangest thing that's happened so far at a gig since this band has been formed around this lovely tour. Or you can just translate into town. I'll give you some alternates. Town we hated the most other than weed. You know, person we wanted to shoot. Club owner that we're going back to. You know, you can do it any way you want.
We were in Detroit and we
Tell
were told
something
not
interesting.
To park our van outside because it will... All our stuff will get stolen. And we did, and it did. I had all these sweet
I'm
clothes.
I'm sorry,
man.
That's not funny, but it's funny.
We had a primal scream. And
that's a 10 on the irony
oh,
scale.
Oh, yeah, our manager.
This is a good one.
I was lying in bed, and I sat bolt upright at about 3 in the morning, and our tour manager was at the window. Our manager, sorry, was at the window in the middle of a primal scream. He was having a terror, and he's a 6'5" man. And I don't know if you've ever heard a man scream as opposed to a woman scream, but it changed my life. I thought it changed my life, but then after 5 days, I was like, oh, I forgot about
and,
it. But,
and,
but I made sure everybody in the whole world knew that it changed my life.
And why?
Because it sounded like nothing. It sounded
no,
like
no,
every
why was
fiber
he
of his...
Why was he having
you guys were both visibly shaken up the next
yeah.
morning.
Why was
but Matt
he,
was more shaken up by his snoring.
Why was he having a primal scream? Is this something he does?
I think he was just
was
stressed out on tour.
But did he tell you afterwards this is
he
like normal for him?
He's done it similar things before, but never that bad.
Did he warn you about this?
No.
Was this on his resume, prone to primal screams?
That wasn't part of the contract.
It was like a million bells ringing in my head at the same time.
But you've kept him as a manager.
Yes, but at a distance. We don't sleep in the same room as him there.
Seriously?
Well, he looked primal, right?
Did he have a worse childhood than you?
No, it's not possible. No one has had a worse childhood.
Ever see AllMusic.com?
Oh, no.
Well, AllMusic.com is probably quoted on more other... I'm not going to... So much for the English language, all that college down the tubes. On more websites.
Right.
Like you go to Yahoo.com, you go to MTV.com, and they don't write their own reviews. Mm-hmm. They use AllMusic.com. So this is it, kids.
What did they say? We haven't seen this.
Well, I can read you your description really fast. I'll read you your description really fast. Well, first I want to do this.
Okay.
You see, you get divided up into label, genre, and moods. And you get a rating. Now, the good news is you have almost 4 stars. You're on Vice.
Out of how many?
Out of 5. Okay. Your genre is, like 5-star general. Your genre is rock.
That's okay.
Your style is indie rock.
Yeah. Boo.
No.
Boo.
Ready?
Wrong.
Your moods.
Oh, God.
For you, this is just beautiful, right, Ken. Okay. Your moods are... stylish, energetic, earnest, confident, theatrical, searching, passionate, literate, intense, freewheeling, dramatic, poignant, brooding, yearning, sentimental, exuberant, and bittersweet. They've applied all those adjectives to the band.
That's amazing, really. That's really perfect. And what, did they review it?
Should you be in search of another pop band that will steal? Should you be in search of another pop band that will steal your rock and roll heart as much as Echo and the Bunnymen and the Church did throughout the 1980s heyday of romantic post-punk, then the Favorite Sons should leave you swooning in no time. The Brooklyn-based quintet features Justin Tripp guitar. Would anybody like to do it?
Okay.
And Matt Worth bass, formerly of the neo psychedelic group. How do I pronounce it? Help me.
Espera.
Ex-roller skate skinny from and Ken Griffin on vocals, Carmine DeGennaro on guitar, and A.G. Edmondson on drums. The Favorite Sons confront the typical book of daily hardships on Down Beside Your Beauty. You've confronted the typical book of daily hardships. Have you ever read the book of daily hardships? It's one of my favorites.
Wasn't that
a Dublin author, the book of daily hardships? Yeah. See, this.
Yeah,
you can do
Griffin.
Comedy with anything. But this is beautiful. From the brooding Leonard Cohen-esque Tear Your Room Apart and the tearful regret of Pistols and Girls, tearful regret, to brighter power pop moments such as No One Ever Dies Young, the Favorite Sons make a daring first impression. They manage to channel hints of various post-punk styles without repetition. Have you channeled hints of post-punk styles?
Apparently.
Having worked with James Oldham, grandson to the famed Rolling Stones producer Andrew Lou Oldham, as they're on their debut EP Treason, it's nice to see what Victor Von
Voogt,
Beth Orton, Billy Bragg kept the Favorite Sons grounded. He kept you grounded. And Down Beside Your Beauty. For further proof of what they're capable of, check out the brassy guitar riffs of Hang On Girl. Sure, it jangles like any great Echo and the Bunnymen song, but with Griffin's aching heart yearning, take my hand, I'll do what I can. Hang On Girl, I know you've grown so tired of your fellow man. The Favorite Sons make indie rock fun again. Here you go.
We've never had fun.
There you go.
That's awesome.
There you go.
Why, thank you.
We'll take that.
Yeah, that's great.
We'll take it.
There you go.
Couple missteps, but otherwise pretty right on.
Wow. Okay, so we're going to do a session after this, but now we've talked way too damn long.
Yes.
So you're wondering, Dennis, go ahead. Dennis.
What
are you going to fill the rest of the hour with?
Music.
Dennis.
We do a thing. Oh,
that's
this
the fun old music we're talking about. This is fun, right? This is banter, right?
This is more.
I'm singing about my goddamn childhood.
This is more fun than energy drinks.
I'd love an energy drink.
Favorite Sons energy drinks.
Favorite Sons. Leonard Cohen energy drink.
It'll
make you feel like you're in a monastery, and you're considering the wider picture. It's going to take a long-ass time to drink, but there you go. It's black, of course.
It's all over. The interview's over. Forget it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's always that moment where everybody loses it.
See,
it's
Carmen
gone.
Carmen doesn't talk, because then he doesn't have to feel like an idiot.
It's gone. No, Carmen's got to talk.
The funny thing is, I'm actually...
We do a thing called a musical sandwich. Two of your songs as the bread, and anything you want to play in between.
Karen Dalton.
Yes.
What song? Name a song. I don't know the name of any of her songs.
Are You Leaving for the Country?
Nick Cave.
AJ.
Papa Won't Leave You, Henry. Is that what it's called?
Hold on. Nick Cave version of Long Black Veil.
Okay.
From the Kicking Against the Pricks.
Cool.
Bob Dylan, Maggie's Farm, live from Newport, 65.
There you go. Okay, come on, kids. Everybody join in.
Johnny Cash, God's Gonna Cut You Down.
And Elvis, Run Around for a Long Time.
Same song.
Same song, different version.
Different versions.
Actually, Elvis Marie's Her Name. We'll switch it up.
Elvis Marie's Her Name.
Anybody else? Come on, I need a couple
Aphex
more.
Aphex Twin, Didgeridoo.
Nice.
Television, See No Evil. Captain Beefheart, Her Eyes Are a Million...
Yeah, Her Eyes Are a Blue Million Miles.
A Blue Million Miles.
Pale Blue Eyes, Velvet Underground.
Other Side of This Life by Fred Neil. What's the last song on the Lou Reed Street Hassle? Street Hassle, yeah. Yeah, the epic Street Hassle.
Beautiful.